Welcome to Portland Insider Music. You're listening to a live interview with longtime Portland, Oregon's premier bassist, David Call, on 90.7 FM KBOO Portland. Today is Monday, February 23rd, 2026. My name is Robert Davis, and for the audience today, I want to welcome you to our interview show as Portland Insider Music, or PIM as we like to say. As I have said many times before, I'm a 25-year sound and lighting engineer. I owned my own sound company, and now as a radio personality, I'm doing live sound interviews for the radio station at 90.7 KBOO Portland, a nonprofit, community-supported station. I also introduce myself as a longtime friend of Michael LeClaire, who is sitting with us today on one of the microphones. On the other microphone is David Call. I'd like to introduce my co-host, Michael LeClaire, tonight. Say hello, Michael.
Hello. Glad everybody's with us on KBOO Radio.
Michael LeClaire is my co-host and compadre for Portland Insider Music and will be with me at every live interview. Michael's ongoing friendship with many Portland musicians, his knowledge of Portland music scene as a former music promoter, sound engineer, and drummer for over 40 years is extensive. Currently, we're sitting in the Mekong Bistro in North Portland and have just finished listening to a few sets of David Call's performance that we have recorded live and will play throughout this interview along with some of his other recorded songs. For our listeners, David is the bassist for many of Portland's premier bands and so much more. So, David, please introduce yourself and talk about your chops, musical influences, and the band you're playing with tonight.
Well, let's just say that as close as your descriptives have been about me, there's so many. This scene here is so rich with bass players, bassists who actually know the instrument. I'm just one of the guys. So that's the first thing. As far as my chops are concerned, I had more. My facility was much greater when I was younger, but thank God for technology because it's allowed me to take the infirmities of age and to adjust without altering the fundamental description of my job, which is to try to find a place where everybody agrees. And that's supposed to be my voice. So if I place it right, then everybody else makes sense.
I gotcha.
So it's so much of what I play is founded upon the intent by which my chops are applied. So I'm a contextual person.
I see.
And that's precisely what I have to be in the band, and I think it extends itself to everything else.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So first of all, I tend to look beyond like the transactional part of the business, the industry. It's not that I know it. I can deal with it. But the fact remains that for me, when I go and play the music, I have faith in everything else. So it gets down to you. You asked about the band, and that's air quotes, folks. Band that's playing tonight.
Tonight, yes.
Because it's not a band. And the best things that I have experienced, the most sustainable things musically that I have experienced. I played with a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah.
And I've enjoyed the heck out of all of it, okay? But the reality of it is that the stuff that lasted, including this unit tonight, was never intended to be a band. Nor was it ever intended to have a gig.
So if I understand you correctly, you're playing with other players, not a band. Is that close?
Well, we call this the Bayou Boys.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, I work with Ty Curtis on a regular basis, but and he has been one of our guests. So there's a little, you know, interconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We think, if you want to think of it structurally, it's a nexus, but I'd rather think of it more like you're cooking. Okay. So what we are is what you hear most consistently is best described as a musical roux.
Ah.
Okay. It holds things together.
Right.
It imbues a certain texture. It certainly exudes a certain complement of flavors.
I see.
You know, that are intended to contrast and complement. And so if you for me, yeah, I got a whole bunch of expectations that I lay for myself. And my only aspiration is to be adequate.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So with all that said, and that he was pointing it out there. So we're going to play one of your songs recorded live by PIM at the Mekong Bistro this Monday, February 23rd, 26th. Let's listen.
I got a good woman that just won't go. seems right, man. I feel cheated. I feel mistreated and lied to.
So, Dave, we've known each other for decades, and the Bayou Boys, give a little shout-out to where the Bayou Boys play and who's in the different versions of Bayou Boys.
Okay, now that's real easy because tonight we're at Mekong Bistro, as we are every Monday, with Tevis Hodge opening things up at 5:30. And Tevis brings another dimension because it's up close and personal.
That's what we're hearing in the background right now.
That is correct.
I gotcha.
And on Sundays, we are at Spirits Pub. That goes from 5 to 8. Essentially, we try to stick with the core on Sundays of Steve Caron, Lafayette, Louisiana, born and bred, masters in music. He's
killer keyboard.
he plays with everyone. Okay, and those that he doesn't play with
wanna play with him.
Yeah. And in fact, I've done work with Ty Curtis with Steve as the fourth player.
Oh.
So, but it's like we've got Steve and me pretty consistently on Sundays. The guy in the driver's seat on the drums is Brian Foxworth.
Monster.
Okay, monster. A force that's ungodly.
And he plays with everybody who comes in. The Temptations come through town.
Yeah.
They hire Foxworth.
He's
the man.
he was beyond his age.
Yeah.
At an early date, but Brian is a force to be reckoned with. Yeah. And that said, decidedly, we have a different, but just ungodly steady, and adventurous player on Mondays with Edwin Coleman on drums.
And Edwin Coleman's one of the baddest boys in town, too.
Amen. And and another one that everybody wants to play with.
Right.
So then on Sundays, our main guy right now is Ben Rice, who took over from Jimmy Russell, who was another force. These guys... I'm an old man, you know.
aren't we all?
But these guys won't, you know. They won't let me quit. And that said, it's like, okay, we're talking about this as a roux. The roux essentially has been consistently Steve, me, and Fox. Okay,
I got you.
And because it grew out of something else that wasn't supposed to be a gig, because I had left another something that was not supposed to be a gig.
You know? Wow!
And I've counted these types of things, like in my head, and I'm going, wow! I spent 18 years. Of Tuesday nights with the Dover Weinberg Quartet.
Oh, wow.
Which was not a band.
For the audience, Dover Weinberg plays with a little guy named Robert Cray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
killer keyboard player in his own right.
These guys don't just have a pedigree. You know, in the antiques business, you talk about provenance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
they've
what's
got
the
a
lineage?
Book of provenance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I look at, you know, what I'm doing here is it's like we can talk about the guys.
Absolutely.
Any one of them. We've got, again, tonight, our guest in at Mekong Bistro, we've got this rotating little thing of someone featured in that fourth slot.
I see.
Tonight it's Jason Thomas, JT Thomas.
I see.
And you can hear Jason with Lisa Mann. You can hear him with Phoenix Sanders. You can hear him with any of a number of other folks on a local basis.
Wow.
But he goes out, he ranges out with these folks just the same. And so, you know, for me, you know, thinking of playing at all pretty much, you know, boils down to how compelling is it? These guys compel me to play.
Absolutely.
Because there's joy in it.
Absolutely. So, just a FYI, you said Ben Rice.
Yeah.
Well, we interviewed Ben Rice this last summertime, last year.
Right.
And heck of a guy. Nice, fabulous musician.
The
great
PDX
band.
Hustle.
The PDX Hustle.
Slamming it.
Oh, oh
yeah.
My God. And we released that interview, oh, I think it was December or January of this year. So it's playing on rotation. So if anybody wants to catch any of these items, you can catch them on our website. But I do have another question for you.
Yeah.
When you first started playing out, and I imagine it was not just yesterday, what was the Portland blues and jazz scene like compared to the way it is today?
Well, when I first went out and played was substantially before anyone my age could actually address any questions of that are related to the blues and jazz scenes here, because my first gigs on the road were when I was 16 in 1967. I was getting out of school early, do these little Northwest tours and open up for Donna the Good Times and the Wailers and
Yeah,
so it's like
that is a number of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and we were getting driven because we were 16 years old, you know. But things got big really fast. That's a whole other story. When I really started to lock into more the jazz scene, though I was playing, you know, more funk and pop tunes, was in the mid-70s. And so the thing is that to me that was just an absolute, incredibly ripe period. I knew guys that were going to like Berklee School of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. And they'd get told, well, look, you know, if you wanna break into the real big time, you know, of course you go to New York, of course you go to LA, Chicago.
Absolutely.
You know, and so on and so forth. But if you want quality work on a consistent basis that pays you well, go to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's the mid-70s. But I also want to point out that I was doing Dover Weinberg again, and I got a unit together, a trio. He had me kicking bass. He would do the chords and solos. We were working like 6 and 7 nights a week, and we could play 10 nights and cover a month's expenses. And so even a subpar unit by comparison to these, you know, Billy Larkin, you know, for God's sakes, there's a legend right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
By comparison, you know, whether it was the Cotton Club or Table Square or Geneva's or, you know, that's running a lineage of just one family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or places like Jimmy Max.
I'm talking about in the mid 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ray's Helm. There were places you
Parchment could, Farm.
Parchment Farm. Oh, absolutely. And The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And The Quarry. And I mean, you couldn't throw a rock without hitting the window of a solid, like, world-class jazz club.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the guys that were playing those gigs were making bank.
Yeah.
And when you ask me, you know, compare the scenes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
First of all, you know, to me that's a loaded question. You know,
we try.
Well, this is where, for me, it becomes socioeconomically founded political issue.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh.
Because to me, the real comparison, you know, you want good music? It starts with honoring it in the schools, okay?
Right.
Okay? You know, you've got all sorts of data that says if you play music, then that music, if it impacts all sorts of other aspects of your life. You can see improvements in people's test scores by an average of 20 points within 2 weeks of initiating any musical education.
Wow.
You see a disappearance of the membrane between the two hemispheres of the brain.
Ooh.
In people who are musically educated. There's all sorts of, but even people in science,
mm-hmm,
and math who play music do better.
I see.
The representation in the professional circles is astounding. So why aren't we doing that? Well, while we're speaking about that, we want to talk about making a living. Well, if it's not exalted in education, at the very, very least, it should be supported by actually, like, trying to create a middle class, like we had in the mid-70s.
I totally agree.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
So that's the loaded issue.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
what do we do to bring that back so that these comparisons are not of God, how great it was and how lousy it is now. You know, because it's comparisons that have to have a foundation.
So that brings us to another song recorded live here tonight. Let's listen.
Thank you.
cause I drive real slow. Baby, don't you worry now, girl, cause I drive real slow. Yeah, I know some special places you're gonna wanna go. Once we get there a few times, wanna go back for more. Baby, don't you worry now.
You're listening to community-supported KBOO Portland since 1968 at 90.7 FM, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, and streaming online at kboo.fm/listen-now.
So of the decades that you've been in the Portland music scene, let's regale everyone with the bands that you've played with over the years.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm going to try to stick to the most memorable ones. You know, Lloyd Jones, worked with Curtis Salgado. I've worked with Duffy Bishop. And actually, both in a band with Duffy and with the Dover Weinberg Quartet with her husband, Chris. So again, we're cross-pollinating. And then Big Monty, Bill Rhodes, the Jim Meese Band. I was one of the founding members with Jim and Mike Muthart, Steve Bradley. You know, there were a few folks that kind of cycled in and out. At that point, we were known for having a lot of different drummers.
And you talked about Ty Curtis.
And Ty Curtis. Well, and Ty Curtis started out being an interim thing. It was like he needed a bass player and asked if I would help. And I said, yeah, let's figure out what you need. The best way for me to do it is to play with you.
Yeah. Okay. So later, when this interview gets released, I'm going to have a link to the Ty Curtis video that you have on your site that shows the interaction between you and Ty Curtis and his songs. I thought it was a fabulous video.
Thank you.
Well done. And at one of our other competitors, which I won't say who they are, but you, we could see you in the background off and on with Ty Leadon playing his guitar, and the band was tight, and you guys had it going.
Well, didn't you play with Paul too?
Well, that's the thing. Paul was the one. Well, Paul's an
interesting. Paul DeLay, for those of you.
Paul DeLay is like a whole book. You know, I mean, you know, we could talk about these, you know, about everybody. You know, again, Ty is I want to finish up this thing about Ty, because one of the two connections brought Ty to me. One was Lloyd, the other one was Paul DeLay, and but Ty was supposed to be temporary, and he has now more on than off. Been the longest gig I've ever had.
Really?
Yes. 13 years.
No kidding.
It's been 13 years. And every time, except this one, was supposed to be temporary.
Now that's a day.
Yeah. And
or two.
And so there's reasons for that that interplay that you were commenting about.
Absolutely.
But the thing is that Paul DeLay was one of those guys, man, I still have dreams about him.
Oh, my God. So, David, you're well known for regular live performances at Portland venues. What does playing continuously for local audiences mean to you? Now, I know you spoke of that in a few slight in and outs, but, you know, can you talk about the real nitty-gritty, what really drives your playing?
Okay, that one's real easy. First of all, it begins and ends with my wife.
Oh, okay.
Because she has literally, my wife, Lynn, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis a little over 25 years ago. And I can say most fully, because she encouraged me to do this, she saw me working all sorts of jobs that I was capable of.
I see.
Okay. She saw me, you know, even working a business with my brothers. But she was the one that encouraged me to go and to lock into this lifestyle that was as iffy as could be. You know, you talk about making a living, making a survival, and that's stressful. And
absolutely.
So everything that I do, whether it's a gig or a song, is connected to her at a very spiritual level.
I see.
Okay. She's more than my muse. I play for her. If she's not in the room, I play as if she's here.
Gotcha.
And so for me, I come from a theater background, which basically extends itself to this model that is about playing to one person. If you play to one person, everybody else is basically a multiple of that.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you value the whole room. You value each and every one of them by playing two and four one. Well, for me, because I have physical limits, my hands, half of my face doesn't want to work. It's hard to breathe. There's times when I wanted to just lie down.
Oh no.
Okay. But if I'm here, it's because of the well of strength that I get from wanting to be with and to play for that one person.
I gotcha. So again, we're going to play one of your recorded songs live tonight. Let's listen.
Turn away. Well, mine would not
Many fans associate David Call with dance-friendly, authentic blues music. So, David, how do you keep crowds engaged night after night?
I have no idea.
Well, they come to see you.
Well,
and the band, or the musicians.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I think whatever it is it's kind of the end. The energy that I put into what I'm doing, it's like a zen is the best thing I can say.
I can
you want to describe it, it just is. And because this gets into the stuff with other implications, but I'm hesitant to say, but the only analogy I can say is like it's prayer, you know. If you come into, you sanctify the space.
Gotcha.
That's the first thing. And then when you come into prayer, you know, some folks come in with a list, okay? And others just come in faith.
Right.
So for me, it's like, okay, we want to talk about a band? That's part of a list. A gig? That's part of a list.
Right.
A venue? It's a part of a list. But the venue itself, each and every one of them poses one connection, one point of connection,
mm-hmm.
in process. And to me, that's really the heart of it. It's like you start getting into it. I respect people who put so much work into knowing their parts on charts their proficiency garners them a huge and well deserved paycheck. You know, for me, it's about making it as real, as sincere as can be, to accept that it's not perfect, you know, and in its imperfection is uniquely human.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that part is what engages. But I think if I was talking about, you know, infirmities, you know, and affecting my technique.
Right, okay? Right.
Well, for me, it's like I have hearing issues, horrible hearing issues, where what I hear is not just diminished, but it changes from moment to moment. So I can't trust what I actually hear through my ears, except as some form of reference. And the rest of it is how I perceive it with the rest of my body.
Oh.
Okay. And even the rest of my being. And so with that, I put myself in a whole other space that accepts that I'm not this one particular thing, but that I'm part of this verb.
Mm. Yeah.
The movement. Okay.
Gotcha.
And I express it by trusting how I feel especially with my right hand fingers.
Right, right.
If they feel like they're dancing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You got the groove.
I got you. Yeah.
And there's times when I can hear what I'm playing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's other times when I can't hear it at all.
Oh, no.
And so for me, it has to be trying to hear as if my fingertips were doing the hearing.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So over the years, playing all these different places with all these different people, describe how the audiences have changed and what you've done to adapt to those changes.
Well, you know, the hippies got older.
Amen, brother.
You know, I mean, it's like how many different iterations, you know, can a guy go through, you know, at 74 years of age? You know, I mean,
is that all you are?
Yeah, and I'm laughing. I'm going. You know, for all that I've, you know, witnessed, again, I haven't noticed any real differences. You know, not in the human beings. I mean, I hate to say it, you know, there are several that kind of go beyond the bless their heart kind of attitude. And so you know, for me, it's that you know, okay, same book, different chapter. Like I mentioned before, my job is to try to find where everybody agrees. And if I, you know, related to that, you know, I'm also the guy looking for the pony in the pile of horse crap.
So, Mr. Dave, we're going to play another one of your songs recorded live by PIM at the Mekong Bistro this Monday, February 23rd, 26th. Let's listen.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Portland Insider Music, a live interview with bassist David Call. So, Mr. David, we are at the end of our interview process with you. It's been our honor and privilege
and
to interview
pleasure.
Tonight. Oh, absolutely.
That's another band.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I want to thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me be had. But please, I want, especially with your listeners out there, pay attention if you hear anything of the Creative Community Cooperative.
I see.
Because that is intent on getting grassroots changes to the whole scene.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Everything.
Yep. Mr. Michael, what do you say, bud?
It's been a pleasure once again. Love you to death, Dave.
Love you beyond.
Love that voice. Well, that's it for us at Portland Music Insider. We'll see you at the next episode, so keep an eye out for all our upcoming band and music interviews, just like this one tonight. You're listening to community-supported KBOO Portland since 1968 at 90.7 FM, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, and streaming online at kboo.fm/listen-now. As a listener-supported nonprofit, it's our members who keep us on the air with your ongoing donations. So please continue to support us by going to kboo.com/donate or text KBOO to 44321 to donate now. If you've enjoyed this broadcast of Portland Music Insider, do reach out to KBOO by phone, email, or other means to let them know that you enjoyed this program and would like it to continue. Remember, KBOO is a listener-supported station, and your membership donation directly helps keep independent radio like KBOO on the air. Donate online at kboo.fm/donate. That's kboo.fm/donate.